It's amazing to spend some time with you guys, and we were at Ed and Jen's place the other night, and we were there at Hanku and Mariette's place, and we've been with the Deans now for a week. We'll get to Charlotte, but we at least saw her in the streets. We almost chose a house that at the end didn't come through there in Collier's Wood, so we almost were the neighbors there. So guys, now we're looking forward to what God has in store. Oh yeah, no, we did that thing as well. Milani wanted to see where you are working. So guys, now we are really excited about what God is doing, and everything has God's fingerprints on it. We walked a lot this week. I just want to say, we are not used to this, okay? Even though we come from Africa, we clearly don't walk as much as you guys do. So we are getting fit, and we had more than 20 houses that we looked at, and still not satisfied with all the space that you guys have on this side. It's for us amazing, actually, to get to know so many people, even through looking at the houses, and and to see what's happening in the neighborhood. So the 20 houses came with a lot of sacrifice, but at least we now know the neighborhood. SW8, like Jacob with God, so that God can become a reality to them. So I want to speak about relationship with God this morning, and I want to trust that at least you will have a framework, because we need to get closer to God. And I want to say to you, the only way that we will reach the city and our families and the people around us will be if we are perfectly obedient to God in every step of the things that we are doing. If we want to reach this city, you know, we can talk about faith and about hope and about amazing things all the time, but the only way that we can get there is actually to be obedient to God faithfully every time. You know, I love what the Word of God says about Abram. It says, early the next morning, Abram stood up, he took his servants and his son, and he went to the mountain to go and worship God. After he received probably the worst news of his life. But he was obedient to God immediately. Not some months, not some weeks, not some years, immediately he started to be obedient to God. And I want to say to you, you can't be obedient to God if you don't hear the voice of God. Is that fine this morning? Is that a good assumption to make? Guys, we talk about obedience all the time, and that is what we need to do in order to get to the author of our lives, the one that knows the best for us. And I want to say that as well this morning. I want to just confirm what I said the last time that I was here. If the one that created us wrote a manual to us so that our lives can reflect his glory, it means that he knows what is best for us. And his instruction manual, the Bible, is there for us so that we can come to the fruit of why he made us this way. But also we must hear his voice. And so I'll be speaking this morning on a few things that can help you to hear his voice. This is not a formula, and I want to be clear on this. There is not a formula. You know, I've tried this with my wife. It doesn't work. It's sometimes tea in the morning in bed with, wheat biscuits, or what do you call it, rusks in South Africa. She loves that. But some mornings not, okay? Some mornings it's not a blessing. So I'm trying to figure this formula out, and, some days it's, hugging her. Some days she doesn't want to be hugged, okay? But in the relationship, we discover what is best for both of us. And in this relationship, we then come closer to one another. But it always changes. And if you thought that, there's a formula to marriage, I unfortunately want to tell you, the young married people might still work. I don't know if the honeymoon's still there. I don't know. But one thing I can tell you, the longer you are in marriage, the more you realize that it's not a formula. It's a place where you and I must get to know our partners to such an extent that we can really see one another coming to our fruition. So James 4 verse 8 speaks about the way that we should approach God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you.
Okay.
Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Go and read a few scriptures in and around James 4. And you'll see that it speaks of the effective prayer of a righteous man that avails much. It speaks about there is actually effective prayers and not effective prayers. And then also, we understand that God says, if you want to understand God and the way that He wants to approach us and the way that He wants to bless us in relationship, God will not enforce Himself upon us. Is that right? Do we all understand that? So it's not as if the Holy Spirit is going to overpower you and He's going to take hold of your life. And you know, we sometimes think the Holy Spirit is going to do, He's going to knock on my door and shake my house, and then I know at least God is here. A relationship with God starts with us drawing closer to God to give Him an indication that we are actually excited about Him. That we have an expectation to commune with Him. So can I just say this morning that you and I determine how close God will come. Because God really has a desire to come very close. He has a desire to come so close that you and I would understand that He's dreaming about us every day.
Oh, okay, this almost sounds like humanism.
I've heard other guys saying the other day, the angels is assigned to make us successful. That is not true. Okay, we sometimes think, you know, that we are so wonderful that that God would, only create His angels so that they can... Yes, it's amazing what God will do to fulfill His kingdom and to see us coming closer to Him. But the effort comes from our side. I want to be very close. So I'm drawing closer. I'm stepping closer to God every morning. I'm saying, God, please... And you know what? Through this move, and me and Milani, we had to pack up our house, and we've got big houses in South Africa with large swimming pools and nice stuff. But when you pack up your stuff, then you realize, we've done it now for, 4 weeks? And you don't spend so much time with God because you're so busy the whole time. You've got deadlines and... I said at a stage to Milani, you know what, I feel unsaved. I just need to get to God. It's just this quenching in my spirit, this desire to spend time in the presence of God. Now, Psalm 40 verse 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are Your wonderful works which You have done, and Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to You in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Psalm 139, verse 17. Am I standing in front of the notes here? Let me try this side. Is that better? You must write down the notes. Please, guys, go and meditate on it. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are Your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And then... Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Okay, God is not a God that gossips about us and is trying to make life difficult for us. He loves us. And there's hope in His heart and His mind about us. And the thinking about who we are as people. And He wants to draw closer to us. He has a desire to do so. Now, we know many people in the Word of God, Samuel, Moses, I can name all of them, and I'm not going to give you scriptural references now, that really came close to God through spiritual encounters. And you and I should come to such a place in our lives where we desire to have encounters with God more often. Now listen to this, Psalm 42, verse 1 to 4. And there's lots of scriptures, so please, guys, this morning, you're going to get more scriptures than you probably usually do. But I want to do this thorough. So, Why are we not intimate? Before I read the scripture, why are we not intimate? Why do we struggle to actually get intimate with God? Why is this a struggle? Okay, it's a question. Why do you guys think? Should have started with somebody else. Is there anyone else that wants to try and trust him? Distractions. Time. Definitely. Like a move. Sin. Amazing. There's different things, but I can tell you this morning that a lack of hunger often brings us to a place where we can go on in life, and it's strange how we as people can go on in life in a soulish kind of way, you know, with all the desires of life. And you know, I've seen it in London, and I want to say to you guys, it's so amazing to be here and to see what the city has to offer. You're coming from, you know, from South Africa, and you realize, you know, just the infrastructure here and just the, and you listen to the conversations and you realize, you know, just by the click of a button, people deliver stuff to you. And it's easy to come from the outside and see these things. But I can say to you, our lives is being filled with all kinds of stuff. And if you don't have the adventure of the next great app and the next great thing happening in the city and the next event, and the next great tool, then at the end, your life feels empty. Until you start to satisfy yourself with the right things. Now, can I just tell you, I've seen many people trying to satisfy their lives with all kinds of things, except with spiritual things, and they never end seeking. Because it cannot satisfy this hunger that is within my body. There's only one place of contentment that you and I will find ourselves being satisfied, that life is beautiful. Life can only be beautiful and wonderful and successful if you find yourselves in the midst of being satisfied in your hunger by spiritual things, and only God can fill that space. And so I want to make a statement this morning in saying to you, you will always feed and have a hunger after the things in which you feed yourself. Because the more you feed yourself on bad stuff, you know, I've seen it now walking in the city all the time, you eat a lot of burgers and, you know, all kinds of fast foods as you walk in the different areas, and you don't have time to to go and get a nice hot meal like with the Deans. But guess what? The more you feed yourself with that stuff, the more you want some of that stuff. It's strange how it works. You know, that your appetite gets to a place of being hungry for the things by which you feed yourself. And I want to say to you, you know, there was this one movie, I'm trying to think now what its name was, something like Missing. They asked the one guy, so give us your, you know, the essence of life. It was an Indian. And then they asked him, give us the essence of life. And he said, there's two wolves fighting in your life. The one is a white wolf and the other is a black wolf. And they said, okay, so which one is winning? And he said, it depends on which one you feed the most. And I want to say to you this morning, if you feed yourself with spiritual things, you will want more. Because the more you grow in a desire and a hunger after God, the more you will want to grow. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 4. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for living God. When shall I come and appear before you? My tears have been food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, what things? Are you still with me? What things? Okay, I'll have to stand still until you get this one. Until I remember these things, what things? Sorry, time with God. So it says, when I remember these things, pondering on the things of God, the living God, the one that is most important. Now, this word remember is zakar, which actually speaks about retaining thought. You know, making sure that you think about it over and over and over and pondering it. Now, this is to protect and increase our thought of God. The hunger discipline by yourself. So let me just finish the scripture. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Now I want to just say, this is not salvation. Many preachers use this in saying that God is knocking at the door and he wants you to receive him as Lord and Savior. I want to say to you, here in Revelations it speaks of going to sit and dine, having an intimacy with the Master. It's a place where God has an invitation toward you and I to come and fellowship with him, to spend time with him, to ponder him, to make him the essence and the thoughts of our lives. So God is asking us and inviting us to open the door so that he can come in. So this appetite, the more we spend time with God, the more we want to spend time. And you know what? It starts off as a discipline. And it's hard work. I want to be honest with you this morning. Spending time with God, and especially wrestling with God, is not so easy. There's times that I, you know, work on stuff with God for weeks, and I just say, God, please just speak to me. I have this desire for you to answer me. Even looking at these houses now, you know, I've got so many words that I'm working through with God. I said, God, so why didn't we just get the first house? And it's just amazing how God can actually remind you that you are here for the city. So why are you not satisfied that I'm showing you the city on somebody else's cost? They're driving you around. They're taking you into the people's houses. Okay? Guys, this is a journey. You know, the amazing thing about God's presence is, you know, I've seen it with my kids as they grew. First off, when I came back from London, you know, after a trip like this, they love the presence. Okay? They love it when I bring that China toy back home. Okay? China toy in the UK. Yeah, that's so. You know, anything that would just be different than in South Africa. You know, it can be a chocolate that with another name on it. It tastes the same, but it's just different. But the older they get, you know, like my eldest now, she's not fazed by what I bring back. Well, except if it has a brand on. but she actually loves sitting with me in my presence and experiencing the relationship with me. She asked me, Dad, so what did you explore there in London? What did you do? Guys, the more we spend time with God, the less we want his presence and the more his presence. And I can tell you, I've seen it through the years. You know, that there's many Christians, when they start off with God, if God doesn't come through for their house, you know, or for the work that they've trusted for, or then they throw their toys out of the cart. But they don't realize that it's not about the house. It's about the journey. Open your eyes to see what God is busy doing. Because He loves to spend time with His people. And I just love, you know, even getting it wrong. And asking God, God, why didn't I today get that feeling, you know, I felt that going to get that house today. And I don't understand the things of God always, but it's so nice to go and explore them. And it works in my relationship with my wife the same. It's actually so good to sometimes go and listen, why did I get it wrong today? Because it's not about getting it wrong, it's about asking her. And she can answer me and we can have a talk about it. So, this journey with God is so important because you and I work on coming closer to God. And I just want to say, before I give you seven things over, please, what's the time now? Okay. You must be strong today, eh? I'm going to give you seven things, but I'm going to quickly first say what the voice of God is not. Because I think we as Christians get it wrong a lot of times. Please write them down, because I know that I often hear these things in Christian circles. Signs through miracles is not the voice of God. It can be. It can be. And I often hear Christians say, okay, no, but I'm going to do the Gideon thing. I'm going to put out the fleece and trust God for it to be dry in the wet, or what was it, and the other way around. And guys, that was Gideon's story. Can I just say that? I hear many Christians putting God in a bad light. Because they are pressurizing God to come and fulfill now great things. And for God to actually perform. God is not there to perform for us. It might be sometimes that God gives you a sign, but it's not the norm. Sometimes God speaks to you a sign, but mostly God wants to speak to you. He doesn't want to want you to follow all the signs that's there. And, you know, we want to believe that we've now seen this red door in our dreams. And, you know, so every house that we go to with a red door in London might be an option because God is going to show the sign. Nonsense. That's not the way that God works. That's not the voice of God. Secondly, it's not a formula. And I've said it. Guys, God does not work through formulas. The way that He worked with you yesterday is not going to be the way that He's going to work today. It's going to be different. And sometimes through our lives, God, you know, there's a pattern of the ways in which God deals with us because of our personalities and the way that God actually wants to meet us. But that is not necessarily so. God would work in different ways, and not a name it and claim it method. And I just want to say to you, I've seen Christians taking a Bible and then say, God, I need to hear from you today. And then the first text that they see in front of them, that is the Word of God. And that is what God is speaking to them about. Sometimes it does work like that. I've had very blessed experiences like that in the past. But not necessarily. Okay, are you still with me, guys? You must be strong. It's not a name it and claim it. This is a relationship. So sometimes God opens the Bible at a place and you start to read and, you know, God speaks to the revelation in that in His Word. But that's not necessarily the way that God is going to speak to you. And then let me just read Deuteronomy 18, verse 21 to 22. It says, and if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need to be afraid of him. I just want to say, guys, we get it wrong many times. And then we must be honest with the fact that, okay, I've listened, and that is what I felt. But it was not necessarily the right thing. I'm sorry, I've missed God. But you know what? This is a journey. The most amazing thing is that God shares many things to us in person with the purpose of us building a relationship with Him. It's not for the world to hear. You know, so prophecies, I've seen many people changing their lives because of prophecies. And then, they fall ashamed because they miss God. And I want to tell you, you know, when God gives you a prophecy, it's mostly so that when you are in the season, that it will be a confirmation that God is busy working the earth. Are you with me this morning? I've received many, many prophecies in my life that only came to fruition 10 years after I received it. If I would have changed my life accordingly, I would have missed God totally in the way in which He wants to speak to me. And I want to say to you this morning, wait upon God. Put it on the back shelf. Don't just leave it on the back shelf. Pray it through. But don't share it to the world. Because I see so many foolish Christians sharing it with the world, and then they cannot explain why it's not happening and why things are actually happening differently. You know, there's many things that God is dropping in my spirit about London that I don't even tell to David and Carlos yet. Because when I see it coming to fruition, it's a confirmation of things that God has spoken to me. That's why you cannot let other people hear on your behalf. I don't know how Christians work these days. You know, it's like soothsaying. It looks like, Christians wants to go to prophets to hear the voice of God. They want to hear, you know, what does God say for your life? That is soothsaying. It's not God. What a prophet says must be a confirmation of what God said to you in the inner room. You coming here on this day to this house means that you must be prayed up to such an extent that what I'm saying now must only be a confirmation of what God has already said to you. I'm not your revelation. Forget about it. I sometimes talk a lot of nonsense as well. I can just warn you. Because I'm human. And you talk a lot of nonsense as well, just by the way. Because in the heart of man, there is a lot of deceit. People are bad. You know, I'm bad. And I know it. But you know what? I'm struggling my way through in humility, seeking God's presence. Because I love this King. I love Him because when He speaks to me, I know that it's the truth. When I see it coming to fruition, I know that God is backing me all the way. And it's like the wind in my sails. I can just, woo, God, we're going to the end of this journey. But guess what? It's a journey. And I want to say to you, guys, stop running to other people and thinking that open and closed doors is going to help you. And that's the fourth one. We think that if God opens this door through this job that I'm going to apply to three of the jobs and whatever one I get, nonsense. Just stop. Because sometimes God gives you the desires of your heart. You know that that's to your own detriment. There's many such examples in the Bible of how people did not want to hear what God is saying. And then because of their persistence in wanting their own way, God would leave them. and at the end to go through difficult circumstances, and then they would come back to God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I realize that through my circumstances, I've made my own bed here. I want to say to you guys, don't think that you are so amazing. We're not going to get this wrong. We get it often wrong because we are human and not God. So I want to say to you, God's voice. What is God's voice then? Please, guys, let's get to John 8, verse 26 to 29. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So relax, okay? You are not going to get anything right, except if you hear what he is saying. Okay? So it gets us back to the understanding that, you know, Jesus did nothing without the Father. And I want to say, guys, we need God's voice. And the first of that is, he will guide you. Proverbs 16, verse 9. First one now. He will guide you. Relax. Don't be nervous about this journey, because he is in control of your life. If you submit yourself unto him, he's in control of your life. And he will guide you. He will lead you. Proverbs 69, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. Now, I just want to quickly mention a few things about how will he guide you. And there's three steps about God's voice that we need. Submit to the Lordship of Christ. Make sure that you know that he is in control. Okay? You are not in control. He is. You need his guidance. Secondly, resist the enemy. I want to just quickly explain to you. You know, when me and Melanie went, it's now more than 3 years back or ago, we wanted to speak to Fred about, at that stage, there was you know, a lot of questions about London. How are we going to go about, you know, in the future of London? And I remember at that stage going to Fred, and I said, but Fred, well, actually I was in London, and I must say to you, God is challenging me and saying, listen, would you deep end somebody else, or would you go yourself? I don't know if this is God ordained, but I just feel this is what God is saying. So Fred said to me, there's no ways of you going to London. Okay, I'm telling you the story this morning. It's going to help you to actually, in the future, hear some things from God as well. I went to Fred and he said, no, listen, you're crazy. There's no ways that we can, release you from your work here in South Africa. So we said, fine. So the first step was we went into accountability with the leaders being set over us. Even though we heard from God, we said, listen, we can miss it as well. Are you with me? It was a big decision for us. So it was the first feeling of maybe. So then Fred came here in that March. He came back and he said, you were right and I am wrong. I've walked the ground and I know that God is saying, you guys must go. Pack up and leave. Immediately. He said, no, Fred. Can I just remind you that you said to me, you cannot release me because of what the strings that I'm keeping together here. So we had this conversation, and I said, at least what I will do is I will take over the Europe region. I will start to keep leading on this side, which only started that end of the year, taking over from Tien's. And then December, I came here, not last one, the previous one, as the first visit as regional leader. I came here and I said to God, God,
yeah, this is crazy.
This is really crazy. Just the thought of coming back to London, you know, after all these years and taking my family. This is what I've said to Fred is probably the wrongest thing. I need confirmation if this is true. So the bus broke down. I don't know if the van, the church van broke down. And David had to pick me up at the Wimbledon station to come and preach here. And that morning we had to walk all the way to the office here, which is not far. Now, discovering that, then I thought it was very far. But as we walked from Wimbledon Station, we got to the YMCA. See, New York, this is strange. This is the place that I did security work at. And you know what? This is the place that I took my guitar at night and I walked in this building while the youth was breaking down on the sides, and you know, the boys wanted to come in with the girls' rooms. But then in the middle of the night, I would walk the premises with the guitar and I would just worship. I said, it's amazing, you know. It just feels like this memory that's coming in before me. And then he said, you know what? This was the first venue that Shofar used in London in 2001 when they started the church in London. And God dropped something in my spirit. You're going to come and complete the work that you started in London. You know what, guys? I want to say to you, this is a journey. This decision is not made just instantly. Love God. We love to do the things that is on God's heart. And so, after that, you know, we came in May last year. And I said, I was still not satisfied. I said, okay, wonderful, God, what does this mean? I went back to my wife. She was at that stage still praying through it. She felt, okay, this must be kind of a first, you know, confirmation or second because of Fred. And then in May last year, I came in. It was amazing, that moment with the Falcon. You know, strange how God in the past also would speak to me, sitting at my house one day, and an eagle land outside my house, you know, trying to get hold of our little dachshund, but on my back stoop. And it was one of those moments when God said to me, because it was, you know, the eagle just came for it, and I was just running outside to try to come in between the two. And God spoke to me instantly at that stage. You know what? We were sitting there at the coffee shop, and where was it? It was close to Tower Bridge. The Falcon came to sit down on the one barrier there, just outside the window. This is crazy. How would you see that in the streets of London? And then David found out later on that it was actually for the pigeons that they want to get rid of. But it was such a moment, amazing moment, because when we went to Trafalgar Square and we worshipped there, this one homeless guy came to me and said to me, you know what, I want to give you Isaiah 40. I see, and he opened his Bible out of his rubble that was in his bag. It was the strangest thing. I thought, you know, at first I thought, this guy, what does he want to say to me? And he took this stuff out of his bag, his old food and stuff. And in between there was this little Bible. And he showed me Isaiah 14. He says, well, I just feel God is saying to you today that there's a broken wing of an eagle. And the eagle is on the ground and it's not supposed to. And God is saying that you will soar like an eagle again. This eagle is about to, Jesus himself is using this eagle and he's coming to soar again. And such a confirmation. I want to say to you guys, God speaks. It's tremendous when you get to a place surrendering to God and God's voice in your life. You know, then faith starts to become a reality. Because you see how the puzzle pieces come together, not because of your doing, but because you were just obedient one step at a time, following and waiting upon God perform His will. So God will guide you. And you know what was the first thing when I got back home after the YMCA word? Is the devil would say, this is not crazy. No. So far as going through a hard season in South Africa, why would you not pack up your things and go to London? And all kinds of seeds of doubt comes into my mind. And I had to resist. I want to say to you, if you are following the voice of God, the enemy will always come with a counterfeit. He will always come, and you will have to resist the devil so that you will be able to stick to that promise. Are you with me? I'll just go and watch a movie actually by Liam Neeson. Got it wrong. Liam Neeson. Now, the movie is called it's a brand new one. Silence. It's about the fallen priests that went to Japan and they couldn't keep up to the end. Go and watch those priests' eyes after failing the test. They lost. There was no life left within them when they started to compromise on their faith in God, because they lost it within where Christ could bring them to a place and understanding of who Christ is. You know, I just watched this movie on the way here and I realized that the times that we are going through now, and to be filled with such pressure. And we will have to make the decisions to stick to Christ and not. And you can lose your life. Not your physical life, that's fine. But losing life in a spiritual sense, in a place of contentment, is the worst. So resist the enemy and then expect an answer by waiting upon Him. Is the scriptures there? Please just write them down, because there's too many now. I can't get to all of them. James 4, verse 7. Resist the enemy. Go to see. Just expect. Next one. Okay, there's lots of scriptures. I can't get to them now, guys. But is there see? Expect. Answer by waiting upon Him. Guys, I said that the Holy Spirit is not going to bang down the door. Okay? It's according to your expectation. If you expect Him to operate, you know, it's on missions the same. Why do God only pitch on missions when we pray for people and they get healed? Desperately need Him. Okay, our desperation and our openness and our expectation for God to operate. But you know what? In a society that's so self-sustaining that we are living in, we often don't expect God to do anything, because we're so self-satisfying. And so with the expectation, it brings us to a place where we can expect God to speak to us. And you know, if I don't have an expectation, do you know that even speaking in tongues can be in vain? This is a different problem. I'm not saying that speaking in tongues is not helping, and I'm not saying. But do you know what? That sometimes we use it as a vain repetition, and we don't put our faith in expectation to actually for God to reveal to us what He's speaking about. And I'm not saying that it's in vain in the sense of, you know, the Holy Spirit can also speak into the spiritual realm. I'm not saying that it's not necessary. It's good to always speak, to speak in the Spirit, and I believe that Paul even said, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, and I know all about it. But I do believe that we as Christians sometimes, as charismatics, fall in a trap of just praying in the Spirit, and we're not putting our mind to actually be in expectation for God to speak. For God to actually reveal Himself and what He said to us. It might be to the benefit, and I'm not underestimating the power of speaking in tongues and the change that it brings in the spiritual. But what I can tell you, you'd be much more blessed if you can engage yourself to actually have an expectation for God to reveal what He has said. Because being in the will of God and understanding the will of God will allow you to be in the perfect presence of God. Are you with me? Charismatics, be careful. We are doing things as if it's just a traditional expectation as well. Okay, so there's many ways in which God can speak to us. His word, I'm not going to read the scriptures, guys. It's more than enough proof that these things, is a powerful, audible voice. You know, we know that God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. I must be honest with you, this has not happened a lot in my life. You know, I think once or twice I heard God speaking, and I think, what's going on here? But this is not the thing that you would usually hear. But our expectation to commune with God can allow God, and I want you to ask you, allow God to decide how He wants to commune to you. Don't have an expectation for God to do a burning bush. Well, you know, He's the one who decides. Just have an expectation for Him to commune with you. Dreams. Okay, dreams is when you sleep. Which means that sometimes you get a dream that actually is fruitful. And with an understanding, we can really be pre-warned on the things that God wants to tell us. Visions. Open visions. That vision is when you're awake. Okay? When you see something that God reveals to you while being awake. And then an inner voice. Isaiah 30 verse 21. Your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right, when you turn to the left. And then number 6 that I don't have on the notes there, but I want to add it, is nature. Sometimes, you know, I just sit in nature and I experience God's creation speaking to me. How God just in the peaceful way that He, you know, God's fingerprints is all over His creation. And He uses that to speak to us. And then I'm going to run through the rest. But guys, secondly, confess unforgiving sin. So let's just get back to the first one. We have a desire for God to lead us. Okay? That's what we spoke about now. Secondly, we must confess unforgiving sin. It says in the Bible, don't have a problem with your brother and expect God to reveal Himself to you. Go to the altar. Go from the altar back to your brother. Go and forgive him first. And then you come back again so that God can speak to you. I want to say to you, many times when I have quiet times with God, I have to go first and settle some things with people. Then thirdly, the exit principle, I'm just going to explain it. I'm not going to just write it down in the scriptures. But guys, the exit principle is go back to when God last spoke to you. There's many people that comes to me and saying, listen, I'm in a desert and I don't hear the voice of God. And then I would say to them, listen, when last did God speak to you? And then when they come back to me and say, this is the last time when God said to me to do this, I say, did you do it? No, I've actually not done that. And when they go and do it, they experience the blessing of God again. If you were a master having slaves, okay, I'm not saying that God is dealing with us as slaves, and that the slaves, there's some that only did 5 out of 10 things that the master says, who will the master give something else to do? To the one that did 10 out of 10. Are you with me? You know, so I just realized that some of us pick when we want to hear God and when not. And then God says, no. Can we just get back to the last thing that I spoke to you about? Because I'm still on the same page. You don't need to go through this desert experience. And then fourth, get your own leading. Others can confirm, but you must hear from God directly. I'm not going to read those scriptures, but I want to ask you to go and do so. Okay, guys, again, you must hear from God, and when other people speak to you, you just have that witness in your spirit. Okay. So he sent me this morning scriptures. The blessing is that it's witnessing in my heart the things that God spoke to me in the early mornings of this Sunday morning. And then I know she is hearing from God. And I can witness in my heart, listen, this is exactly what God is saying. And because it's a lie, I can trust it. Are you with me? Then, number 5, wise men principle. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. I've explained to you through the example now. Guys, I go back to the people that I'm accountable to. I go back to the people that I trust over years of speaking into my life, because I know that I get it wrong. Sometimes there's some stuff that I just want, and I'll do whatever I can to get to justify that thing. Buying a thing, making a decision. And it's strange how members would come to you sometimes and saying, you know, God said to me, I need to leave my job. I said, okay. Did you speak to your small group? Did they pray with you? Did they confirm with God that this is a good choice in your life? They would say, no. I already resigned. So it's not necessary now to... Exactly. You know, the problem as pastor is always that people then afterwards run to you when the pawpaw hits the fan after 3 months not having a new job. You must now collect money for them to actually have a salary. Are you with me? It's strange how people want to only be in accountability when they're desperate. But when they want something, they will justify it by all means, so that they will give you 100 words that God has given them, and that's fine. I've also received words from God to come here. But you know what? I've allowed God to confirm them in people that I trust. And that allows me to even have more boldness to know that God has said unto me. Are you with me? The wise man principle. 6. Opposition can be a guidance from God. Now, I just want to say to you, many times we fight against God rather than the devil when opposition comes our way. Okay. I'm just going to mention this one example because I don't have time. But I want to say to you, Paul wanted to go into Jerusalem, and then Agabus actually prophesied over him and said, no, you're going to be strapped with a belt, and you know, you're going to be killed. And it was the right prophecy, but the interpretation of that was scary, because Paul said, listen, I love what you're saying, but probably that is what God wants for my life now. because I've heard from God that I'm actually going to go through a lot of hardship now going into Jerusalem. And he went and he was arrested. And he did go to Rome all the way. But I want to tell you guys, sometimes opposition is not necessarily from the devil. God allows us to actually, and Daniel is such an example. If Daniel and his friends thought that God was not in the oven, you know, if they would have moped about this, God was excited about the journey with Daniel and his friends because it was a testimony to the nations. And so, I'm ending off. Practice to listen. Number 7. Practice to listen. You know, Samuel grew in his sensitivity to God's voice. I want to just read these scriptures and then we need to end. I know this is, guys, this is more than what I can do in probably a week. So I'm downloading now on you. But I'm trusting that you will go and move. Can we just send the PowerPoint to everyone? Practice to listen. 1 Samuel 3 verse 4 to 7. I want you to see the progression. This is why my very end, I promise you. Then the Lord called Samuel and said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you've called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not, listen to this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not been yet revealed to him. It's beautiful, eh? This is where Samuel started. Listen to the progress. Chapter 8, verse 7 to 10. The Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you." And again, this is an example of God leaving us to our own devices because of persistence. "But they have rejected me from being king over them, according to all the deeds that they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." Just read this out. "So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him." So Samuel grew to such an extent where he could actually tell the people what God is saying. Listen to this last one. 1 Samuel 12, verse 11 to 18. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I'm just going to read verse 18. "So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. All the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel." Samuel grew to such a stature that if Samuel was walking around, people knew, okay, this is God's man. You don't wrestle with him. Because he said to them, "Listen, God's thunder is going to come down." And it happened. And I want to say to you guys, the beautiful thing is Exodus 33:11. "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." I want to have that relationship with God. Can we stand with you? Are you still strong? Okay, you don't need to do worship this morning. I want all of us to allow God to actually become priority in our life. My question to you this morning is, do you hear God's voice? Is it a habit to get into His presence and that all your actions motivated by the King of all kings. You know, we often as Christians have so many ideas about God and about serving Him and the benefits that it brings, the lifestyle that it has to offer. But in serving God and hearing His voice, it's not always easy, because it brings in great responsibility as well. And I guess sometimes we don't even want to hear God's voice, because the previous one was too much. And there's sometimes that I push into the presence of God and I can feel, you know, that God, this is just too much. Just give me time to first work through the bit that you've already given me. God reveals Himself totally to us. Give us all that we need and the full revelation of what we need. We would first not be dependent on Him, but secondly, we would not be able to handle it. And so in this journey that you and I walk, we need to, one step at a time, only hear in part and wait for Him. But being faithful to that little allows God to speak to you more. I desire a lifestyle in you. The King of Kings talk to me every day. I can allow Him to be really the Lord of my life. Because I've got a relationship with Him. I'm not living this life as one of sacrifice because I'm a good Christian. I'm obedient in whatever that ends out to be, sacrificial or not sacrificial. Sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's with a lot of hardship. It's not easy to come to the UK for us now at this stage of our lives. Much easier if I stayed here as a student. But you know, it's also not a sacrifice that makes me to feel like I'm dying. I'm happy in my spirit because I'm at the place where God wants me to. I'm obedient to Him speaking to me. I want to encourage you this morning. Guys, let's live lives of obedience to God that satisfies Him. Not because God is this God that wants to rule us, but because He loves us. He wants the best for us. Let's bow our heads. Father, I have a desire this morning to tap into Your presence. I do realize, Father God, that such a load of information, Father God, sometimes we get overwhelmed, but I want to trust Your presence in this place to transform us. May these words, Father God, help us to just become more hungry for You. Father, our desire is to actually thirst as that deer for Your living water. Father, our desire is to not miss You a bit, but to be obedient every day. Thanks, Father God, that obedience, Father God, is not so sacrificial, Father God, that we feel burdened all the time, because Your yoke is easy because of the things that's in Your heart. Thanks that You are carrying this burden. We just need to coincide under Your wing at a place where You can lead us, because You know what's best. We surrender to You this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that every person standing here will desire more. And Father God, that every day will be a lifestyle of receiving more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, we need to end off. If you need any prayer, we'll be here in front. If you're convicted this morning and you feel your prayer life and your relationship with God is not where it should be, just come and speak to us here in front, so that we are only going to pray with you. You're going to trust God to reconnect with you in such a place where you can have a lifestyle of obedience toward Him. But yeah, enjoy the coffee, and for those of you that need some prayer, please stay behind. Thanks.